Welcome, my precious friends and family. This is Anrita Melchizedek of the Melchizedek and Pleiadian Light Network, and I'd like to welcome you to BBS Radio and to the program show, Ascension Keys to Self-Mastery. I'm going to start with a channeling by the elders on authentic spirituality and action, the theme of our show today, and following this, I will introduce you to my special guest, Michael Sharp, who will be joining us from Canada. The elders are ancient celestial beings and high council members to the Order of Melchizedek, and are part of the core group I primarily work with these days, along with my I Am Presence, who forms part of this core group. So to start with, just get yourself comfortably relaxed as we go on this journey of light together. Welcome, sweet ones. We welcome you as light workers, star-seeded ones, teachers, healers, and way-showers. We welcome you as one with all that is and honor you as his keepers of light and ambassadors of light. To start with, let us take a moment to center, breathing deep into the body, expanding the lower abdomen as you breathe in and contracting the lower abdomen as you breathe out. Just finding that place within yourself of harmony and peace and love. And now call in the overlighting of your I Am Presence, your master guides and guardian angel, and all other beings of light that you personally acknowledge and that wish to join you now in this sacred space. And now let us collectively move into the 12th ray of One Unity Consciousness. For it is this ray that links light workers to the unity grid of light. You are now taken in soul consciousness into this ascension seat and ashram within the 12th ray. As you enter into this ascension seat, you are now surrounded in this beautiful golden flame of One Unity Consciousness. And now you find yourself on the Unity Grid of Light, connecting to the planetary light workers, working along this grid, as well as all the beings of light from on high, assisting in this ascension process. Now truly feel this interconnectedness to one another, to the company of heaven, to Mother Earth, and now to all life on this earth plane. Wonderful. And now just experience the key codes of light available through the Unity Grid of Light, taking you into a deeper level of self-mastery and activating the dormant DNA now to the maximum cosmic law will allow. Sweet ones, what is important in this now is to truly recognize that you are this ambassador of light and that you have chosen to be of service to the divine and to all life on this earth plane. You come here with an individual and collective puzzle piece and contract. And it is a time now to truly step into these footprints of light, honoring and acknowledging the importance of the role that you personally have in this ascension process. It is also time to truly clear old patternings, false beliefs and judgments, and find your power base through your connection to the divine, to your star family and your soul family, through the guidance of your I Am presence. It is then when you truly start to experience authentic spirituality in action. So what does it mean to be or experience authentic spirituality in action? In essence, in viewing life through your master eyes, you let go of old cords and attachments, connecting you to a limited three-dimensional reality. You let go of people that truly do not see you for the precious being that you are. And you let go of limiting patterns, such as a perceived lack of abundance. The key, sweet ones, is to take yourself into this place, where you truly take on the mantle of leadership, where you truly experience yourself consistently as this empowered and loving master being. For many light workers and star-seeded ones have chosen challenging earthly realities in order to create the blueprints of light, for others to find their way into the cosmic heart of Mother, Father, God. Further to this, you have chosen to incarnate onto a planet of duality, which is of course widening in both the light and dark aspects of consciousness, as Mother Earth and all inhabitants shift into the next dimensional octave of light, known as the ascension process. Added to this is the recalibration of your own energetic wiring, taking you more into your multidimensional reality as this co-creator and master being, and yet often experienced in a reality where oscillations of the emotional body occur, and the consciousness is affected not only by the light frequencies, but by the shadow aspects of this planet too. For you are all one. The best way to experience authentic spirituality in action, sweet ones, is simply to live it. You have experienced millions of now moments, and in this now, simply embrace and love yourself without judgment, without guilt, or shame, without fear or blame. Dance the joy of living in love. Embrace yourself in your garments of light, of your I Am presence, holding the knowledge of the many gifts that you have, and that are becoming more activated as collectively you move into the higher dimensions. And above all, just breathe and dance and feel the embrace and support of Mother Earth and the company of Heaven. This will allow you to take your service work to another level and not to take life so seriously. This will assist you to bring into your reality those holding a similar vision and focus, those holding a similar puzzle piece. and take the time to get physical too. To eat well, to sleep well, to truly sustain yourself in nourishment, both physically and spiritually. We also let you know that you are networking more with one another. As soul family and friends come together, and together you will create the change you want to be. Find your voice, sweet ones. Let it be loud and booming in dynamic right action, in love, and in the recognition of yourself as this master being of love and light. You are further traveling to the appropriate councils of light, ashrams, healing centers, and ascension seats in soul consciousness, mostly during your dream time, sweet one. Look to consciously remember your dreams and connections to the beings of light from on high, through trusting and surrendering to Mother, Father, God, through following the guidance and intuition of your higher light, and simply through following your heart. Focus on this for a moment, sweet one. And now, sweet ones, for a moment, find yourself back on the unity grid of light. This crystalline grid of light holds the highest potentials of all life, holding the frequencies and key codes that will truly take you into living your spirituality in action. As you take on these key codes now, as you take on a deeper level of your service work, clearing false beliefs and judgments at a cellular level, and any remaining remnants of the negative ego, you are surrounded in this beautiful golden ray of light. And to assist in this download and activation, we will now speak in the language of light. Amrach imahashata, evach imahasa, ebrach ilahana, evach imasha, evach imahasa. And now just wrap the earth and all her life in this beautiful golden flame of unity consciousness, of divine love and light. Feel the sense of connection to all life. Feel the sense of coming home. You are loved and appreciated and most needed as this physical vessel of love and ambassador of light. You are the present and the future of this earth. Your assistance is most appreciated, and we truly honor you and thank you as this precious being of light. And with this, we bid you a most magical day. Wonderful. So just ground yourself into the energies of the earth and bring yourself back into your sacred space, honoring yourself as this master being, as this ambassador of light, keeper of light. Good. So I would now like to introduce you to my guest, Michael Sharp. Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. It's lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Michael, you have a program called the Lightning Path, and this is another way, as I understand it, just for us to experience self-mastery and come into enlightenment. Could you tell us a little bit more about this program?
Where do I start? I don't know. It's basically a path to, my tagline on the website is Awaken, Empower, Ascend, and it's basically, mm-hmm. a set of teachings and techniques and guidelines and support forums and mm-hmm. Other stuff that that helps people, that supports them in this journey or this shift that everybody talks
mm-hmm.
about.
And are there some? I've been fortunate enough been able to read some of the material that you've got up there. And one of the books that I looked at, which I know you've also got in ebook format, is The Great Awakening. And that one I particularly like because it's written in some ways it's written very sweetly. And I think I really like the imagery of bringing in Winnie the Pooh and all these very sweet expressions and sayings. But it also comes from this no-nonsense attitude. And it gives quite a nice, clear outline for people going along the spiritual path and dispelling a lot of the myths about spirituality. Do you want to take us through a few of these concepts and understandings to possibly give our listeners a better idea?
Well, I've organized this whole system into three, well, actually five levels, but three basic levels: core, mm-hmm. lightning path core, lightning path intermediate, and lightning path advanced. And each of these is designed to kind of help people along different stages of the process.
Yes.
The Great Awakening book is part of the core, and it's like you say, it's basically a book of. It talks about the Great Awakening, which is the
awakening.
Yeah, that's right. And then, provides you with some basic information you need to get started on the journey. And part of that information is technical, like we need to learn to breathe and we need to learn to be present, and breathing is very important to Ashley. And that did some other things in there. We need to learn to see ourselves for what we are, which is divinity incarnated in a body, and not broken souls incarnated into a body or evolving apes or anything like that. We need to have the right perspective. Whether we believe it or not initially is not really that important. What we got to do is kind of give it space in our consciousness. And, the book just kind of talks about some of the misconceptions that we absorb as part of our schooling and socialization process. And some of the initial obstacles that we might experience, like, some fears and stuff like that. And just kind of, gently says, this is the way,
I don't know how gently that is. I'd say you really, really kicking people up the butt with some of your writings, it's kind of like, well, really, this is how it is.
Yeah, well,
I can take it from here. You can give that nonsense up right now.
Well, I do say that, and for me, there's I try not to be urgent or to make threats or anything. For me, there's a sense of urgency, right? That there's.
Oh, there this, definitely is. There definitely shift. Is. It's really just, awaken. We're wakening up. And I think, it's like taking those first steps and actually just realizing as well that we're shifting at such an accelerated rate, and having the appropriate skills and tools and, all these paths are leading into one anyway, is just such a huge help. along the way. And it's also, as you're saying, just dispelling a lot of those myths and finding that focus of what works for us individually and collectively. And it's wonderful to have those skills and tools. So this first book then is, or set of writings is very much about those that are waking up, directed primarily. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the initial. It's kind of like people start to, you know, open their eyes and go, well, you know, something's going on here. What is it? And you know, as soon as you start to open your eyes and ask that question, then you're inundated with a lot of different things. You know, like the Catholic Church has lots to say about the shift, and, you know, science is starting to have something to say about it now. Some of the scientists are talking about it. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, people are talking about Mayan 2012, and sure. There's all this, you know, yeah. you ask that question and there's 100 answers there right now. So.
Exactly. And, you know, and every one of them in their own way has got some merits, you know, so it's really just what you're drawn to. And so, what's nice about your teachings and writings is, they're not really, you know, based on any particular. I think they're quite non-denominational. That's probably the word that I'm looking for. You know, it's not focused primarily on connecting to other particular core groups. It's just focused on that consciousness of God and the I Am presence. And of course, I'm a big buddy of the light person. You know, I call in all my buddies of the light, which is, I really think, the entire company of heaven and all the Christ at ETs. And, you know, for me, that's my path. That's just the way that I like to work. I like to hang out with a wide social circle, you know. But I know of a lot of people that, if you start mentioning the Pleiadians or the Syrians or the Andromedans or the Brotherhood of the Light, they lost. You know, they don't really know who you're talking about and who these buddies of the light are. And if you can just give them the accessible tools, they'd say, well, here are the tools. It doesn't matter where they come from, you know. It's just a connection between you and God and trusting and surrendering to that connection and taking yourself on that path. And I think what I also like about this book that I've just had the chance to look through again is it takes you into that core essence of, as you're saying, you know, breathing, connecting, living healthily, you know, too, having a healthy mind, healthy body. I think it's quite important, that connection to eating well, surrounding yourself, you know, in nature and creating an environment that supports you as much as possible in that reality as a co-creator in this path of ascension.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then there's other books on at the core level. We talk about there's a book about the economy and about what happens in the economy, and then there's a book on authentic spirituality, and then there's an introduction, the Book of Light, which is kind of an introductory cosmology. You know, and if you ask, you know, if you were a kid, I remember asking these questions when I was a kid: who am I? What am I doing here? What is there? A God? Is there more to all this stuff? And you know, all the answers that I got when I was a kid were Catholic answers. This book, basically, the Book of Light, basically answers these questions: what is God, and, you know, what's the nature of the universe, and what's our relationship to God and consciousness and all that other stuff. And it does it in the same kind of a way that the Great Awakening does, you know, very kind of a straightforward. And then that book is continued at the advanced level, and there's three other volumes, two of which are in draft form, one which is not even started yet. But so, yeah, and so the Lighting Path is really designed to be, it's kind of a comprehensive, non-denominational, you know, guide to the shift, basically.
Encyclopedia, more like it. Sounds like that. Lots of books coming out. That's wonderful. It's nice to be so prolific in one's writings. Tell us a little bit, Michael. I'm going to jump and hop around there a bit, but what is your take then on the economy? Because I think, you know, obviously we're all working from an abundance perspective, and I think the more you come into that recognition of you are a co-creator, you're able to magnetize, manifest, and bring into your reality what you're needing. But that economy is also something that, you know, we have personal control over, but obviously from a planetary level, there's a lot of things going around in terms of the financial energy. Share with us a little bit of your understandings or what you've penned and put together.
Well, I think in the book that I talk about, this Rocket Scientist Guide to Money and the Economy, what it basically say in that book is that money is energy. It's like it's a physical manifestation of the work that we're able to do, right? So I can you know, if I write a book, I sell this book to somebody else. They give me a little bit of their energy, their money, which they worked for, right, in exchange for this book. So it's like an exchange of energy or an exchange of labor. One of the problems that I identify in the book is that this energetic exchange is interfered with, right? There's a, basically an extraction mechanism that pulls this energy away from us. And this extraction mechanism is not a good thing. It's kind of designed to keep us in disempowered and struggling and in debt and always kind of running on the financial treadmill. And even though, you know, we work with this abundance perspective, there's this opposite pull, which, you know, basically sucks all the money out of the economy. And, you know, 3 years ago when all this money was transferred into the hands of private bankers, it's a good example of that. You know, it kind of threw the whole global economy into a recession because all this energy was pulled out of the economy. And now, you know, we're basically left for, you know, in a 3 or 4 year period where we've got to rebuild the stores of energy in the society so that the economy can function again. So it was really kind of a stranglehold. And I think that it's quite intentional, and that is a way to kind of slow the process or hopefully halt the process of awakening, empowerment, and ascension, because it throws people back into survival mode, right, and keeps them struggling at the wheel. So that's kind of the perspective on energy and the economy that I have. The book is called Rocket Scientist's Guide to Money and the Economy. And also at the core level, there's a book called Rocket Scientist's Guide to Authentic Spirituality. And this is another kind of basic book, and it talks about how do you identify, you know, an authentic spiritual path. There's a lot of, you know, it's like the answers to, you know, what's happening on this earth or what's the shift all about. There's a lot of different people talking about it, and not everybody knows what they're talking about. And it's important that we kind of learn to distinguish and tell the difference, right? And so this Rocket Science Guide to Authentic Spirituality, just, it's a list of suggestions. You know, like, this is if you want to judge, if you want to assess whether the path you're walking on is leading where you want it to go, then, you know, these are the sorts of things that you look for. And in the book, I talk about the seven pillars of authentic spirituality. And, you know, one of the pillars is responsibility, that we have a responsibility to this world. And there's other examples of guidelines that you can use or apply for yourself or not. I mean, it's your choice whether you want to use these guidelines or not, to just kind of get an assessment of where you're at and what direction you're pointed in. And it's very important, I think, that people do that, because we're not talking about a consequenceless shift here. You know, it's like I have this parable of the ship, it's called, and in this parable, you know, there's a sinking ship. This is the ship of the old world, and we're all on that ship right now. And there's this new ship just over, and there's a swim to get there, and we got to get there before the other ship sinks. And we need to make sure that, you know, as the old ship sinks, we're not stuck on it, and we don't go down with it, because that would be a negative thing. And so, you know, don't panic, don't fear, don't let yourself get led astray, and kind of point yourself in the right direction and start the process of walking. And that's basically what this core level is about. You know, I have, for me, it all comes back down to the nature of consciousness, which is something that I address in the Book of Light. You know, what is consciousness? What is God? And we're divine manifestation. What does that mean? You know, and consciousness, as I'll say in the book, is compassion, it's love, it's connection, it's power. You know, like, consciousness is the root reality. The material world emerges out of consciousness, and so consciousness basically has authority and power. It doesn't seem like that to us now, because it's kind of been subverted and we're not aware of that. But so we've got this consciousness, and it's compassion and love and connection, all these other things. And so, you know, the goal of this shift is basically to bring consciousness into the physical world, like, fully, not in a watered down version, and, you know, not in the way it is now, where you just kind of get little bits of light peeking through, but full, you know, full power light in the world. And that, you know, people will talk in a very warm, fuzzy fashion about that, but really that's a fierce light. You know, it's not conscious. If you're God, you know, you don't look at this world and go, oh, child hunger, oh, war. You know, oh, yeah, you know, go ahead and dump toxins in that lake, or, you know, go ahead and take money from single-parent females. You go, no, this can't happen, right? This is not right. This is not what God would do. And so there's this bringing, you know, we need to kind of recognize that consciousness is a certain way. Like, you know, it is these things. And what are the implications of that? And consciousness won't come into the world. You know, like, consciousness is also very sensitive. And, you know, it really, you know, if you're walking around in, I was thinking in terms of vibration a lot, if you're walking around in a social situation where there's a lot of repressed anger and fear and hatred and all the other stuff that is bequeathed to us as part of what I would call a toxic socialization process, you know, consciousness is uncomfortable and experiences pain, you know, like that negativity, that hurt, that violence, that anger is painful to consciousness, and so consciousness has a hard time entering in. So part of the process of shifting, in addition to kind of, you know, getting ourselves thinking and acting appropriately, is making these changes, right? Because consciousness will not come into the world while it is like this. And so we really do have to focus on making these changes, right? And, you know, first it starts with us, and then it starts in our home, and then it extends into the world. And we don't do it ourselves, and we don't stick our necks out. And we do it together, and we need to recognize, as a connected family of light workers and all this other stuff, that this is the goal, right? That our goal is to create the conditions that will support a shift in consciousness. And it sounds like a lot of work, and it is, but the Lightning Path is designed to kind of provide the tools for that. You know, like, it's not, you know, you plug in, and it's called Lightning Path because it's designed to be fast, you know, so you plug in and, you know, you read the books and you follow kind of the outline on the website, and, you know, a year later, 2 years later, you're just not the same person anymore. You've made this big shift. And, of course, you kind of, how far you go is dependent on the environment in the world that you're in. So we're all kind of limited right now. We can't go as far as we would like to because of this world. But then we get to that point and say, and then we start asking questions, okay, what do we need to do now to make these changes? And that's hard, you know, because the system is designed to prevent change, and it's designed to preserve the status quo, and it's designed to keep us in our little boxes. And it's designed to ensure that privilege and all this other stuff continues, where, you know, the kind of things that God would want, like quality.
Great, Michael.
Yes,
I'm sorry, we were momentarily cut off. So, good. Well, I hope you've been holding the space quite nicely and doing some of the cheerings there for me. I would greatly appreciate that too. So tell us a little bit about the other books then. We're going into then the intermediate books and the more advanced books, what sort of techniques are you sharing at that particular level?
Okay, so the intermediate levels is a lot more practical stuff that goes on at the intermediate level. So, for example, there's the book Dossier of the Ascension, A Practical Guide to Chakra and Kundalini Activation. And that talks about how to activate your chakras and what happens when that happens, you know. And that book talks about, you know, how it's very easy to activate your chakras. It's kind of just like opening your hands. You open your hands and it's open. You set, it's a simple intent. Same with your chakras. You open or visualize and they're open. It's not a problem. The problem is keeping those open. You know, if you've got, for example, a damaged heart chakra, and it's the energies of the heart are suppressed because you've experienced a lot of pain. And children, the life of a child is really, there's a lot of pain involved currently with being a child, you know. But we all tend to kind of restrict our heart energy flow out of fear of being hurt. You open that chakra up, and what happens is the hurt and all that other stuff which blocks it is kind of manifest. It starts to come to the surface. And that can be really difficult to deal with. You know,
So you're talking about working a lot then with the wounded inner child. I think obviously, you know, we all come through and we choose the parents or carers according to the best way to rapidly move us into our own ascension process. But often we're not, you know, a lot of the children, and maybe a little bit less now, but still, you know, many of the children aren't seen. They aren't seen for their gifts and what they bring. And so what happens is then a lot of the issues of abandonment might come up, or wounded inner child, or just not being loved and supported in a way that is appropriate to that child.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with sensitivity, too. As we kind of activate and get our bodies working together, we become sensitive like the child. And I know I have kids, and I remember when I was a child, you know, even little things were very painful, you know, a little pinprick.
Yes, caused it to go.
So as children, we're very, 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 very extremely sensitive to pain, to the energies around us, to our connection.
And
with
I think we're just very empathetic, if you think about it, as children. You just take on all the emotions and feelings of everyone around you. You know, that seems to be very common as well. So, you know, being able to, I think, working with children as well and being able to give them psychoenergetic techniques is very powerful to prevent a lot of that taking on of energies that aren't theirs and absorbing them, because they just these receiving energies and they're transmitters of light, but they tend to also, you know, take on a lot of that too. So, and I think for the older, from my personal experiences, I've seen with a lot of the older light workers, they come through and they have many challenges in this lifetime, and they haven't had that support. And they've created these pathways of light through their own, you know, challenges and things that they've worked with. But that is no longer necessary. You know, in a lot of the work that I do, I come very much from that place of saying, you know, we no longer need to experience pain and suffering. That map was very appropriate for building this bridge of divine love. But we're at that place now where we can just step into that essence of divine love and no longer need to experience many of the karmic patterns or pains and sorrows that were part of that karmic journey and also part of us creating that map into the cosmic heart of Mother, Father, God.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. With children, though, the problem is that they're relatively powerless, right? They're in a world where adults regularly stomp all over them and their peers. Mm. So how do you, you know, my son is in school right now, and he's being told by a couple of the kids around him that he needs to believe in hell and heaven, otherwise God's going to burn him in hell forever. And my child is coming scared and upset, and I can support him. But
yes.
It's a very negative.
Just unconscious people saying unconscious things, you know.
Right.
It is very difficult, isn't it still? You know, and also we've lost a lot of that sense, I think, of community. If I have a look, you know, in South Africa here, there's a lot more of the community I see in, like, the black cultures and in the color cultures than there are in the white cultures, you know, and I look at it, and what do? You know, we not only create these boundaries around ourselves, we build big houses and, you know, put electric fences around. Well, in some parts of South Africa, they do that, you know, and it's just saying stay out, and it's saying stay out to everyone, you know, so you're not really focused yet on coming into community, on feeling and sensing that support, or coming from like-minded perspectives. Of course, that hopefully is all changing, and particularly as we move into these lighter frequencies, but there will still be, I think, a part of the essence of the consciousness of a large number of people choosing to isolate themselves. And then again, I think that also goes very much into that sense of not seeing others as family, you know, that as your brothers and sisters of the light. You know, what you would do to help your own family, it's possibly not extending yourself into the next person because they're not family. It's just very interesting, the perceptions we have and the way that we choose to express them and the way that we live. You know, it's very interesting life. But the children are our present and they are our future, and I also am blessed with two beautiful boys. So I think the gift, too, is actually having conscious parents, and more of these beautiful, awake, and psychic kids are choosing to come into conscious families. And that is a wonderful, beautiful thing. And if we can just support them best that we can, I think we're going to see them doing some incredible, incredible activities of light for all of us on many, many different levels. Good, Michael. So I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add at that moment in time, if you'd like to, you know, add something now. And then what we could look at doing is taking some callers, if you'd like.
Yeah, sure. Why don't we take some callers?
Okay. All right, good. So please give us a call. Come and chat to myself and to Michael Sharp, joining us from Canada. And the number you can call us on is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 or 530-413-4522. We look forward to hearing from you. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about Canada at this stage. It's a wonderful, beautiful country, I believe, and can get quite cold. Do you do workshops locally? Do you travel?
I don't. I travel a little bit. We spent 6 weeks in South Africa 2 years ago talking about the books and stuff in Johannesburg and Cape Town. And
yes.
That was a lot of fun, and I've done a little bit of traveling. But
that's right.
I don't like to travel. I have small kids. I don't like to be separated from them. So I kind of do the workout.
Yeah.
And I can't see that changing much in the next 5 or 6 years just because, you know, I just want to be here with kids.
So are you more local in terms of your workshops? Do you do tele-seminars, I mean, reaching more of a global market, or do you just sort of do workshops locally in around your area?
The goal is to do basically the workshops that I plan on doing are mentor workshops, and they fit in after the core, intermediate, and advanced levels, and they're workshops for people who are they're designed to kind of, well, what do I do now? How can I help people? You know, how can I guide them? How can I help them with the struggle and the fear and the anger and all this other stuff? And, you know, to kind of help train people to get out there as light workers and help be mentors and say, okay, this is what you need to do. If you know, you're struggling, you're sick, your body's collapsing, you know, this is what you need to do to kind of stop that from happening and get back on the right path. And so those are the sorts of workshops that we're developing. You know, the core, intermediate, and advanced levels, they're kind of designed, they're on the web, they're designed to kind of be hands-off for me, right? I don't want to have to do everything and all the questions and all the support that people get. It's there on the website, and we have mentors already working there to help people, and so that's that. So there's that, the mentor
Wonderful.
Level.
Wonderful, that's nice.
I would certainly recommend,
you know, setting up some of your workshops in tele-seminar format. You know, you reach a lot of people that way, which is lovely, and I'm sure that there'll be a lot of people interested in you know, connecting to all the wonderful teachings of light and certainly to the lightning path, because as I said, I've had a look at the website and I've had a look at some of the teachings and they're great. You know, I think there's a very big market because there's, you know, there's a lot of people and they're waking up still or in that place of still working with themselves, but, you know, needing psychoenergetic techniques and needing these tools and sometimes still feeling, you know, these widening oscillations of the emotional body as we're going through this ascension process. And if you think about it, sometimes it's quite difficult. You know, we're experiencing just so much going on. We've got all these past life parallel realities that we're going through and genetically inherited things and, you know, things that have happened to us in this lifetime that have created these false beliefs or judgments. And then at the same time, we're shifting into becoming these light beings, taking on these multidimensional memories and shifting the cellular consciousness, not only in the activation of the dormant DNA, but actually changing the cellular structure to take on more light. And those create a lot of the ascension symptoms that we move through, and they can, I think, be quite a difficult time. So the more we can come together and support each other, the more we can network, and the more we can collectively shift ourselves and the consciousness of the planet, you know, the easier I think that transition will be for all of us. So I certainly look forward to that time. I'm not sure when it is, but, you know, to just wake up and feel, oh, no more ascension symptoms, please. You know, sometimes I just feel like that they go on forever, you know. and then you're just never sure. Is it the flu? Is it ascension symptoms? Yeah. Am I tired because I just really didn't have a good night's sleep last night, or am I just going through something with another planetary event happening? Lots of wonderful things. Really, it is. It's quite an exciting time if you think about it.
Yeah, for ourselves and our planet.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of work and a lot of struggle and a lot of fear. I think people, people have been trained, you know, right from day
one.
To think very small of themselves, you know, to think that they aren't very capable of things and haven't really been nurtured and supported. And so, you know, self-esteem is a big deal, right? Because a lot of people, even when they start this process, will feel, well, can I do it? You know, am I one of the chosen? Am I going to be able to make this evolutionary shift? You know, am I smart enough? Am I whatever, you know? So it's a real,
that's one of the things
we're dealing with is this, people are just unsure, and that scares them, right? And they don't want to. That can be really, it can really halt people in your tracks, because I'm a teacher. I've seen it with students in the classroom. If they don't feel confident, they don't ask questions. Even if they don't understand something, they just kind of stuck there and like a deer looking at the oncoming and knowing what to do, right? Not because, you know, unsure of themselves and unsure whether they'll be able to do what they need to do. So what you say about support and all that other stuff, very important that we kind of do that.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that, because of course, you know, we incarnate on this planet of duality, and from a very early age, it's just, you know, there's so many of those cellular memories that we take on that create that lesser than and better than consciousness, and that victim and persecutor consciousness, and all those old patternings, because they just, you know, kind of affect the mass consciousness in such a degree. So you do grow up, you know, from an early age, you're not told you're this beautiful master being with all these skills and gifts and whatever, you know, you really are, you know, kind of put in your place, so to speak. And for most of the time, for most people, that's a level of belittlement, generally speaking, you know, in where we are, or power issues, or, you know, kind of just struggle issues and survival issues, and, you know, and that becomes your reality. But underlying that is certainly, you know, in the teachings that I think all of us are doing in our own way, is the recognition that we truly are these empowered master beings. And it's been able to step into that power, to find that power base. And I often find, you know, grounding into the energy of the Mother Earth and just knowing that we're here to be of service, that we've chosen to be on this planet, that we are these keepers of the light, is half the work, because the subconscious mind can go with those old programs, and particularly go into, you know, kind of that we are these lesser than beings, and or we imagining all of this, or, you know, whatever it is, with your own issues that you're working with, many, primarily issues of disempowerment, or a lot of heart issues that create that separation from source, or that inability to experience and feel that complete unconditional love, or that sense of unity consciousness. So what's happening, I think, on a planetary level is that we're seeing that widening in terms of the polarities on the Earth plane. So we're seeing much more light, but then we're also seeing so much more of the shadows. And so in that schism, it creates also, I think, on one level, you know, that can take you into those frequencies where you really do start to doubt, because you're seeing so much going on around you, and you're just wondering, you know, is this really my reality, or is this the reality that I'm choosing to experience or be part of? But it's always underlying that to just truly remember that you are this co-creator, and you can create any reality that you choose, and step into that essence of lifting yourself into the cosmic mind and heart of Mother, Father, God. And it's to find your way there and remain there constantly in this now. And it sounds like a lot of the tools that you're providing, Michael, certainly help into creating that shift.
Yeah, well, and it's,
into those levels of cosmic consciousness awareness.
Yeah, and you're talking, and as you're talking, I'm visualizing, I'm seeing a guy, you know, climbing a ladder out of basically muck and mud and darkness and just, you know, all the shadows, like you say, and you know, helping to empower that. But also, you know, as this person climbs, they're also being, you know, this hands clawing at them, right? Because there's a lot of people who are afraid to move forward, or who are threatened by this. And so there's this kind of draw, right? We want to move forward, but there's this huge sucking action as society tries to, not society, but the system, other people's fears or whatever, tries to keep us down. And so it's, you know, the initial stages that can be very difficult and very upsetting and very alone, right? Because, you know, you kind of what do you do? Do you keep climbing that ladder and struggling against all the resistance and, you know, kicking people's hands off? Or do you reach down and help them? And can you reach down and help them? Or if you do that, are 10 hands going to grab you and drag you back down? So to make you climb, you know, you have to climb that up again. So it's a struggle and a challenge and difficult. And, you know, it's a lot, you know, lots of heart pain and lots of, you know, just I think part of this process is there's going to be sadness, right? Because until society has changed, until we've made some of these changes, you know, stopped schools from being so abusive to our children and stopped our own, you know, participation in the system, there's going to be this, I don't know how to say it, it's just going to be a sadness, right, like as we kind of struggle through the first, and it shouldn't be, you know, ideally, hopefully, hoping for a miracle here, all of a sudden, you know, everybody can kind of go.
Well, I sometimes just have a look through my master eyes and think, did I choose this planet, you know, I mean, for sure, you can get caught up in certainly the evils of the world and what people do to other people and what they do to animals and children and to the earth and, you know, and it's horrifying and terrifying, you know, all in the same moment. And it just really then is to know more than anything that you are here to make that change and make that difference. And that's really where I'm coming from that sense of knowing that you can make that change, regardless of what your reality is reflecting to you at any given moment, and even if it isn't reflecting to you the God consciousness of yourself for many reasons, it is to just know that and experience that and feel that. And that comes also from taking that time to be in nature, taking that time to create that bridge into the cosmic heart of Mother, Father, God, the merging with your I Am presence, and offering, I think, many of those teachings and skills and techniques. Good, Michael. So we've come to an end of our show very shortly. So I wanted to share with our readers, you know, if they're interested with our readers, sorry, with our listeners, if they would be interested in going to have a look at your website. And I think that's michaelsharp.org, if I'm correct.
Yeah, www.michaelsharp.org.
And then if you'd like to go and look at Michael's YouTube channel, it's on Ascension 44, and he's got some nice videos up there on the lightning process, and some of his teachings. And I also see you've got a lot of e-books up on your website that you're offering free. So please do go and have a look at some of the teachings. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. The entire core is free.
Oh, wonderful. So Michael's offering some wonderful, fabulous things. And if you feel drawn to some trade exchanges or putting a little bit of money that way, I'm sure that would be gratefully accepted too. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. Please do go and have a look at our YouTube channel, which is Enrita Melchizedek, for updates on our on the latest videos. Particularly next week, I'll be joined by Celia Finn. We're going to be doing the full moon equinox meditation and invocation. So I look forward to joining you then. And thank you very much. And from my heart and to yours and to the cosmic heart of all creation, blessings in love. Thank you.